this first time of the forest fire which took place, and Krishna saved all the cows and cowherd boys who were going for grazing, cow grazing. Then Maharaj was comparing this, that these cows represent our different senses we have, and the senses, they are always looking for sense objects, that is grass. So these cows, in order to get more grass, they were becoming greedy for grass, and they left Krishna and they went to take grass. So that means we, our senses, they keep Krishna in our backside, put in our backside, and then we turn ourselves other way around and start going on these sense objects to find some material pleasure, and as a result we get entangled in this material modes and this Maya. And the most serious thing about this whole incident is that actually the jiva is suffering from threefold miseries, but he feels that he's enjoying. This is the main serious thing. He doesn't understand that this pleasure is actually and will end up in so much misery and so much suffering, but still he keeps on enjoying all that. And he doesn't even call out for help to Krishna. If he does that, oh Krishna, you please save me, immediately Krishna will come and two things will be awarded. Not just he will be rescued from this forest fire, but also he will get service of lotus feet of Krishna. Two things to know. But it's unfortunate on the part of the living entity that he doesn't cry for help. Because unless we cry for help, unless we ask, nobody will come and help us. So as we see in the case of this cowherd boys and these cows, when they called Krishna for help, and Krishna came, and immediately after that, what they saw? They were back in Bandirvat and they are sitting with Krishna and they are eating, and there is nothing has happened, it was just like a dream. So similarly, if we call out for Krishna in the form of his name and we perform single pointed devotion to the lotus feet of Krishna, then we'll see that when did we cross this material ocean, these miseries, and when did we are in Golok Vrindavan, we will not even know, it will be just like a dream happened to us. So all is needed is that we should call out for Krishna to help us and to lift us out from this blazing fire of material existence. Now how does this forest fire takes place? Nobody lights this fire. Just the trees among themselves, they scratch each other or crush each other, and then these sparks, they come out fire, and the whole fire takes place. Similarly, we are suffering, but this suffering is the cause of our reaction of our karmas. We are performing so much karmas, so their reaction itself is the cause of the suffering. But we point out to the person, he is the cause. It is not, our own deeds are the cause of our suffering. So this is like this. So that is why we should chant Krishna's name, because name is non-different from Krishna, and also single-pointed devotion. Then Maharaj compared, he was starting speaking on this Venu Geet, and he compared this Venu Geet is represents the Purva Rag of the gopis, and we sadhakas who have not yet had any meeting with Krishna and we are aspirants for that same thing, so our position is also similar to the Purva Rag of the gopis. And how Gurudev, he tells us the all the signs that how we can by following in the footsteps of our acharyas and the instructions given to us, we can also become Krishna conscious. How does it start? It starts when Sri Gurudev, he puts this bhakti lata beach in our heart, desire to serve Krishna, and then gradually this desire fructifies. What Gurudev does next, he tells us about the beauty of Krishna. He tells us Varaha Piram Natavar Bhaku. And then he tells Krishna is so beautiful. What is the position of Gurudev here? Position of Gurudev here is like a priest who arranges marriages. So he will go to girl and he will tell the beauty and all the good qualities of the boy. And naturally the girl will develop faith or affection for this boy. And similarly he will go to boy and tell about the qualities of the girl and they will develop attachment and affection for each other. Similarly here Gurudev, he is like a mediator between the living entity, between us and Krishna, and is telling us, oh, he is so beautiful, like a rain cloud, this cloud about to shower rains. It's like blackish, it's not complete blackish, and sort of bluish also, and very dense, very thick, like that. Krishna's whole body complexion is like that. And then he has this pitambar around his whole neck and hands, and then he compares that with just like when these clouds are there, and in between sometimes this lightning is there. He says, in this case, this lightning doesn't stay for all time. It will come for a moment and disappear, come for a moment and disappear. But in the case of Krishna, his pitambar, which is compared to the lightning in the cloud, stays all the time around him. So such a matchless beauty of Krishna is described by Krishna. And then he says that it is not an imagination, but sometimes we are said that if we are told of some qualities and descriptions of some character, then we can picturize that in our mind. In this case, when we try to picturize Krishna, a threefold bending form, holding a flute, you may say that it is imagination, but it is not imagination because that form already exists eternally. So you have to start thinking of this form in your heart and mind on the description. Oh yes, he is this color, he is wearing this pitambar, his eyes are like that, he is holding, because nobody else in the world holds flute except Krishna. So this form is very much bona fide, authentic and accurate. So we should do that on the instructions of Guru. And then he goes on to speak that later on, that actually comparing Krishna's beauty and this pitambar with this cloud and lightning example is not a very good comparison. But because for us there is nothing as good as this, so we can try to compare this with Krishna's beauty. But actually it's not like that. Now, Sukhdev Goswami is telling this verse, but he is actually seeing this beauty of Krishna. He is witnessing the wonderful form of Krishna, and he is telling that to Krishna. But those who don't have this realization, who doesn't have not seen this form, how can they understand it? So unless you experience it, unless you witness it, it will not be fully understood by you. And we cannot relish it fully unless we see it. So we have to aspire for that. After hearing, we develop greed and attraction, and gradually, when we do sadhana, we can know this also. So the definition of purvarag becomes, before meeting the intense feelings which we have for our beloved, so much enthusiasm, feelings, and greed, etc. All these things is purvarag. Or feelings before meeting called purva. But it's very wonderful case in the case of gopis, because they are never separated from Krishna. They are always with Krishna. It's nitya milan. But still, whenever they see Krishna next time, they feel we're seeing him for the first time. They have this purva. So this is a very wonderful thing. And sadhak in this world, he hears about all this, and he comes to know about all this from Gurudev, who tells him on the basis of Bhagavad. And if one is very fortunate, then he can also come in touch with this parampara and can hear from this literatures by our Goswamis, by Rupa Goswami. And then whatever effort we will do will be authentic, will be accurate, and will fructify definitely. Otherwise, people are trying to imagine so many things, but that is bogus. But when you're here, then you're, although it's imagination in the beginning, but later on it will become concrete. So that's different when you come here in this parampara. Now in this, all this, probably, how many shlokas are in Venugita?
20
shlokas. So in all these shlokas of Venugita, nowhere something like Bansuri or Murali has come. In all the verses, Venu has been referred. Venu. This is a specialty, one thing. So, they're saying again and again in all the verses, Venu, 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 because they're frustrated from this Venu. But then why are they saying Venu, Venu, Venu? They should not chant this Venu, Venu if they're so much frustrated. Just like in Brahma Gita, Srimati ji is saying to Uddhav, this Shyam is like this, this Shyam is like that, and all the dick syntax he's saying about Shyam. But then he says, so why chanting Shyam? You forget his Harikatha? But she says, I can't stop that. So actually, there's also so much affection and attachment for that also. That's why she can't resist speaking that. But outwardly and apparently, she's so much against this thing. This is what is happening. So, we should have this kind of feelings in our heart also. This kind of intense desires we should have, just like this gopis have. And that's what Mahaprabhu depicted in his pastimes of Gambhira Leela. That's what he showed, with how much desperate we should become to meet Krishna after hearing this beautiful form and all the beautiful pastimes. That's what it showed there. Okay, we cannot become that desperate as Mahaprabhu showed us, but at least when we try, we can become little bit. That would be very enough for us, too much for us. So how can we develop this desperation? How can we become so desperate to meet Krishna? Only by hearing Harikatha. Harikatha is the only means. By hearing Harikatha and with the same mood what we hear chanting his name and then also meditating on the form and all the pastimes of Krishna. This is how we can increase our mamata, affection, a thick affection for Krishna can develop. But first it will manifest for Gurudev and Vaishnavas. And how it will be like? Just like we have in our family. The father is attached to the children, the mother is attached to the father, and everybody among each other, they are very much attached. But they don't feel this. I mean, because they're staying together for so many years, they don't feel that. But as soon as somebody goes out for something, oh, my son has not come, oh, father, wife, so they start remembering each other. Similarly, we in the mutt also have so much affection with each other because we're staying together. But we don't realize it because we're staying together. But as soon as one brahmachari or somebody goes out, then, oh, where is gone, where is gone? He's not come for prasadam, or he's become annoyed, then we've become annoyed. Then we also, our mind gets disturbed. So this is all symptom of mamta. We have it for devotion. This has to be increased. This has to be grown. This should become more thick, more thick, more thick. And then this is what is turning respectively from the stage of Shraddha, Nishta, Asakti, Ruchi, and in Bhava platform, and later on from Prem, then Man, Pranay, Smay, etc. and so on. This is what? This mamata, this affection, this thick affection is called bhakti. So in other words, bhakti is thick affection for Guru and Vaishnavas or for Krishna. So these gopis, they are all different gopis, all the sakhis, they also have the different groups, and then so many other sakhis, and this from Suhridpaksha, from the well-wishing group, and then Swapaksha from their own group, and their Vipaksha from the opposite group. All are sitting in their own houses, in their own homes, and they are discussing among themselves about this whole Venu Geet. So how this is happening? Krishna has left for Gochar. He's going out on cow grazing. So then, they're still watching him. They're seeing he's going and they're accompanying him. And then he goes in the forest and they keep watching him till he disappears from us. In fact, that he's going and that sand is there and that completely goes off, then they come back. But they don't come back. They're called back. They don't want to come. Why? Because most of the gopis, they have their marriage, so their husbands and their in-laws, their mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, and they are after them, so they pull them back. You come back. So you bring them back home. So when they come home, then they start discussing with each other, and in their heart, in their feelings, they start seeing Krishna is going in Gochara. Now they are in home and they are seeing in their feelings and heart, in Bhavavastha. And they think Krishna is going from one forest to another forest, and when he goes from one forest to another forest, how that forest welcomes Krishna, all the grass, all the trees, plants, and all the animals become so jubilant. when they are ready to offer themselves in the lotus feet of Krishna. And it's a wonderful thing. Who is speaking this? Sukadeva Goswami is speaking this to Parikshit Maharaj. But actually he is saying what gopis are seeing in their heart for Krishna. So a shadow of that or a reflection of gopis feeling is coming on Sukadeva Goswami. So he is speaking that in this verse. How all this nature, it welcomes Krishna when Krishna comes. All the trees, they're ready to shower their flowers. all the plants, they're ready to offer their flowers like that. All this nature is becoming so happy, so glad, so jubilant that Krishna is coming there. So they're seeing each and every single object as more exalted than them, more advanced than them. All these gopis are seeing like that. And then they're saying, this first verse, and in this verse they're saying, only those eyes are successful if they see Krishna and Baladev. They are going and Krishna is playing flute and Baladev is also accompanying him. So this is like the first definition, first version of this sloka, first understanding of this sloka. So saying only those eyes are perfect who witness this beautiful scene. Then he says, but those eyes are even more successful and perfect, those who witness that Baladev is going a little ahead of Krishna and Krishna is going behind Baladev. So those eyes are even more. Then again, a more deeper meaning, they say that those eyes are really perfect eyes who witness that actually Krishna is going and Srimati Radhika is here and they are playing flute on each other. Krishna is like, flute is on the lips of Krishna and Srimati Radhika is playing, and like that one another they are doing. This is the perfect. So these eyes are the best eyes who witness this song.
So Radhika is there?
Yes. So then, Sukadeva Goswami here is saying that this matchless beauty, this wonderful scene, this is so madhurya there, so much relishment. I am unable to express this. How shall I express this? It's just impossible for me. But still he's saying. So a big assembly is arranged in front of Gopeshwar Mahadev near Jamuna. And then all the great personalities are present there. And then two Natwar group. Natwar means those people who perform dances, just like this person has come that day. He's Nat. So what do you call him? Yeah. So, but it's like little different. Here it's not unique, but I guess it's
dancer.
Yes, a sort of dancer we can say. But dancer is also not the exact translation. We have to really do some hard work to get a proper translation. But he's Natwar. So Krishna and Baladev, they are in the form of this two Natwars, and they come in assembly, and they one is of very golden complexion, another is of the blackest complexion, and they steal everybody's heart. And they're dancing in so nicely, and how in a very intoxicated manner they have dressed themselves. What they have done, they have taken this new leaf which has come on this mango trees. They are reddish in color, and they have made a curl of them and put in one of these, and sometimes they put here and sometimes put here, and they are just so much in a funny way. They are moving around because they are in their full youth form, but they are attracting everybody's heart and mind. And then they go a little forward and they take this, because feathers are lying on the ground, they take it. It's not a crown made of that, but they just put it for them. So it becomes more natural, it becomes more beautiful. So, and then later on they have this Vaijanti Mala, seven flowers, unmatchable, nothing like that. So all this beautiful dressing they are wearing, and they are stealing everybody's heart by the different intoxicating gestures and features, etc., etc., like that. But you see, they look beautiful in all different dresses and forms they do. Whatever they wear, they will look beautiful. Because you see, when Krishna is going, then this cow sand from the cows are moving, and from the hoof so much sand is coming. Dust is coming. So this dust falls on his hair and he becomes so beautiful. And then see, sometimes we have somebody's a girl or a boy with very, very fair complexion, very fair complexion. And then with a small blackish dot there. So it becomes so beautiful. It doesn't look bad. So sometimes some of the gopis, they would, Krishna, even in Nandanandan form, here it is in Gopal form, but even in Nandanandan form, when he is there, gopis will go and they put one dot, and he will look even more beautiful. Like that, the beauty increases. So they are Bhushanam Bhushanam, means they are ornaments for the ornaments also. It's not like when these ornaments are put into Krishna and Krishna becomes beautiful, but this ornament beauty is kept increased when they are on the body of Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. And on top of that, they are playing this flute. This flute, the way he's playing this, you can't explain. And gopis are watching this. And gopis are becoming so much envious of this Venu and they're saying to each other, see this. He is so cruel. He is Purush, he is man. And where is? He is on the left of Krishna. This place meant for us and our all treasure and property. We are the proprietor of, we are the single proprietor of this property. And this cruel person is taking our all property. What is taking? He's taking the nectar from the lotus lips of Krishna, taking all that nectar, which is simply meant for us. Nobody should take it, I'm just taking it. And he doesn't have even a little bit mercy on us, that he may leave little bit for us, but he's not taking it. So like that, the gopis are discussing this. And now, they become, man comes to, man. So they become little bit annoyed. This person says, they become annoyed from this vein, how this is happening. But here, then they start praying. What are they praying? They're saying, oh, this Venu is really fortunate. Because this Venu is on the lips of Krishna. And what they're seeing, that they're praising this Venu. They're thinking that this Venu is doing such a great service to Krishna, that even we cannot do this service to Krishna. So here, this is symptoms of Mahabhava. In this sense, that whether a living thing or non-living thing, they are saying that everything is so much exalted than them. So they feel themselves to be so much fully lower, so much down, inferior, yes, inferior, they feel inferior. So this is symptoms of Mahabhava. Now, why we among our God brothers, we respect each other, why? We see Vaishnavas respecting each other, God brothers, and we pronounce to each other, why we do that? What's the reason behind that? Why? Because I see, oh, he is doing so much service to Gurudev. I cannot do even 7 lifetimes this much service I cannot do to my Gurudev. So, seeing this so much service mood in them, he naturally goes on to him and shows his respect. This is the secret benefit. But who will feel that? Only one who himself is doing so much service. He's become pure, so he starts seeing all others are even more. Because he'll become humble. Because he will do service to, that nobody else is doing that much service. But when he sees others, he is seeing that everybody else is doing more service. So this is why we respect each other. So this mood starts developing from here only, among ourselves. This mood will start. And then gradually, this mood, this gopis are having this Mahabhava mood, seeing everything more higher, superior to them in the sense that they are more near to Krishna and giving more service to Krishna, and they are feeling themselves inferior. So developing this humility will begin right here, in this stage, among ourselves only. This mood will develop from there. And then they are saying that all his family, his all his dynasty, this Venu's dynasty. What is Venu's dynasty? This Venu is a bamboo tree. And then they have their elder brothers. Who are their elder brothers? These mango trees and bulgur trees. They are their elder brothers. And who are younger brothers? These other creepers and others. They are younger. And everybody is so proud. See, we have this son from our family. And he is right on the lips of Krishna. He's made our dynasty glorified. So much like that. And then all these gopis, they steal this Venu from Krishna. And then Krishna is saying, oh, please give me this Venu. This Venu is my life. You can take my life, but give me this. Because if you don't give me this Venu, then how can I call my cow? And how can I live without this? Because my life and soul is this Venu. And he's falling on their feet and he's crying like this. Like. Nanda Baba and had like, they were 5 brothers. Nanda Baba was in the middle. 2 elder brothers and 2 younger brothers. Similarly, not in the case of Venu. Venu has unlimited brothers. All this, they have so many brothers who are elder to this Venu and so many brothers who are younger. And all of them today, seeing this Venu in the lips of Krishna, they're becoming so happy and so proud. And what to say of the dynasty of this bamboo tree itself? He's like, he's feeling so great, this Venu. Just like we have in our Arya dynasty, the gopis are quoting this, just like in the Arya dynasties, we feel great. If somebody has become a devotee from family, so his forefathers and coming generations, they'll feel so good. Yes, one, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he became devotee in whole dynasty, they become so glorified. Similarly, this bamboo, this Venu has glorified all the dynasty of their elder brothers, younger brothers and everybody. And then this Kadamba tree, it becomes so happy that it starts giving off its
honey?
Yeah, honey. It starts giving that honey off, like that. It's called Ras Ki Dhara. It starts giving that to Krishna. And this mango trees, they start giving these manjaris out because they become so happy on the sun. They become so successful, they're doing so much service to Krishna. And especially there's one tree. This tree is called Har Shringar tree. Har Shringar tree. This Har Shringar tree specialty is this, that it is always full of flowers, always full of flowers. And what is the specialty? When Krishna comes, then he gives all the flowers to Krishna. And especially it happens during night time, all the flowers are growing, blossoming up and up and more. And during this Nishanta Leela time, when the stars are now gradually disappearing, the sun is about to come, before that time, Nishanta Leela time especially, it means now the night is about to finish. That time it starts giving off its flowers. And when it fully gives up the flowers, then we should understand day has come, night has completely gone. So this is Har Shringar tree. And it shower all the flowers on Krishna when Krishna comes in.
What color are the flowers?
It's so I am strictly within the limits of what I have heard. I don't have my personal realization, so I have to check. So, everybody else, means all this, whosoever is present in that spot and the scene, they are feeling so happy and so jubilant, except one. Who? These gopis. These gopis are not at all happy. And they are frustrated and they are so much unsatisfied and disturbed. But, as said, we, because we are tathasta, we are standing on a marginal position, so we know that actually gopis are having the extreme enjoyment. They are the most happy. Nobody is as much happy and satisfied as gopis are. And the gopis are saying, what kind of tapasya this Venu has done? What austerity it has performed? What was this austerity? And for how long it performed in the previous verse? And they want to perform that austerity, because then we may become Venu and we serve Krishna also. So, then they're inquiring what kind of austerity is. So, this austerity has been mentioned in our Goswami literature, and we are being told daily by our Gurudev what austerity you should perform to get this position. So we should be enthusiastic and greedy to perform this austerity and to know more about this austerity. And what are the sources? Pasya Samas Chindu Chaitanya Chathamrit Ujjwaling Mani etc. All these literatures. So these are like the treasure houses where description and all the information is given, whereby you can achieve that transcendental position. And who has the key? It's locked. Gurudev, Rasik Vaishnava, they have the key. So we have to go to them. Because this Venu is also in the lotus, it's at the lotus feet of Krishna, but this is due to the mercy of gopis only. Because some or other gopis are walking and it must have got their foot dust and then turned in the form of this Venu, this bamboo stick, and now ultimately is on the lips of Krishna. So this is by the mercy of gopis, like that. And then this gopis are discussing with each other and they're saying, oh, today Vrindavan is so beautiful, it's so much beauty is there that the whole earth planet is being beautified by this Vrindavan only. Today this earth planet is feeling so happy and so satisfied just because Vrindavan is there. And why we say Mathura is so great? Because Vrindavan is in Mathura. If Vrindavan we take out from Mathura, then Mathura is no good. And why we say this the earth planet is good? Because Mathura is there in earth planet. When we take it out then this earth planet is useless because Mathura is not there. And then if we take out Vanshivat from Vrindavan, then no rasa, what kind of Vrindavan it is? No Vrindavan. So Vanshivat is the heart and soul of Vrindavan. And then from this 84 square miles of area, we take out Govardhan and no use. And then from Govardhan we take out Radha, Kunal, Shyam. Then okay. So all of them, they fulfill each other's purpose, each other's purpose. Reason for that, the reason is that Krishna is moving around in different parts of the Vrindavan, and then all the signs which Krishna has on his lotus feet, there are 19 different signs, and sadhakas are advised to meditate on these signs, especially this. It has this thunderbolt, it has a lotus flower, it has a trident, ankush, that thing to drive this elephant.
Goat,
yeah. Stick, that is there. And like this, 19 are there. And sadhakas and a kalash is there. So sadhakas are always advised to meditate on this signs of Krishna. So all these gopis, they are saying that all these signs are everywhere around all the place in Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan is looking so beautiful. Where else we can find this thing? Is it possible anywhere else? No, it's only in Vrindavan. And then they are saying, this peacocks, they are so fortunate. These peacocks, because they can see, they can have darshans of Krishna without any obstacles and without any problems. There's no hurdles to their darshans when they take to Krishna. So this mayurs, these peacocks are so beautiful, so fortunate. And then all these trees down in this valley of Govardhan, these kadamba trees, these mango trees and all other trees, bargat trees, they are feeling so happy when Krishna comes to them. So they're seeing fortune of all the things present in Vrindavan. Gopis are, their vision is they're seeing everything as fortunate and exalted than them. And then as soon as Krishna enters in this forest of mango and kadamba trees, these peacocks, they see Krishna. And they see as if these clouds have come and they start dancing. And they become mad in dancing. And then Krishna sees them dancing and he also becomes so much happy. He starts playing his flute. And now when these peacocks, they hear the flute, and now it's become uncontrolled and they start dancing in the best of their times they can. And then Krishna sees their dance and then he plays on the fifth note and then on the seventh note. And all the different play, he plays all different suras and lyrics he plays, and all these peacocks, they become just like that. All very happy. And gopis are watching this time. Gopis are witnessing this thing. And this koel, this cuckoo bird, and she speaks very sweetly. Every time, because her neck is unmatchable, but now when she sees this peacock dancing so nicely, she can't dance, so she keeps quiet and sees what's happening, how they're dancing. But she can't dance well, she can only sing. But today her voice is completely, she's just watching this pin drop silence, and everybody's watching, and Krishna's flute and this peacock, everybody like that. And also all other birds, parrots, shuk, sari, everyone is stunned what's happening. This wonderful, amazing scene is there. And then, when they are dancing, and the climax is there, and this peacock, he gives most beautiful feathers, he drops down to Krishna. And this feather has 7 different colors. It's unique, there's no feather like this. And Krishna, he picks up that. He feels that it is like gift from this peacock. Because generally in Braja we have this culture. Just like that day we had this nut, came, he performed dance, and then he gave a necklace to Mahal, he gave a ring to Mahal. So they do when they dance. So this peacock, he was dancing and he gave a gift to Krishna because he was so pleased. And Krishna respected, honored that. He took and put it in his head like that. So these gopis are continuously praying for each. First they want to become Venu. Then they say we can become this tree. Then they say we can become this peacock. Then they say, okay, if we are not even that fortunate, then we may become Shuksari. We may become something big. They're playing like that. Praying like that. Because they're taking verses of Krishna, and there's no upskill, there's no hurdle in that. And then especially they praise this deer, this she deer. She's coming for darshans of Krishna. And her husband is coming behind her and is saying, you go and take darshans of Krishna, no problem, I'll see. The whole world may become against when I am favorable to you, you just go and take darshans of Krishna. So she's going and taking darshans of Krishna, and Krishna's beauty and flute, when she hears, she feels that now I should surrender my heart and soul to Krishna, like that. So these gopis are saying, they are so fortunate. They don't have like their mother-in-laws who are forbidding them, or their father-in-laws, or their sister-in-laws, and everybody else. There's no one to stop them, and they're having this beautiful darshan of Krishna. But gopis, they have, you see, we are so unfortunate, because as soon as we go for darshans of Krishna, and then our mother-in-law will come, where are you going? And then so much questions we have to answer. And then if we somehow or another skip them, then our sister-in-law will just appear from some corner. And then somehow or another if we skip them, then we have this sons of our sister-in-law and our what you call Jethani. Jethani is his husband's brother's wife. Husband's brother's wife. What you call this?
Sister-in-law.
And the husband's sister is also sister-in-law.
We don't differentiate.
We have different.
Yeah.
Anyway, so because differentiate to more rasa. If he skips one, the other one comes like that. It happens. So they're saying these herons are, these deers are fortunate because they don't have anybody like this stopping them. So they think he's animal, this deer is animal, he doesn't have any right in service of Krishna. But still he's there, still this deer is there. So he's been said as mudha. Mudha means murk, foolish person. So they say, although the animal is foolish completely, he doesn't have any right to come in the service of Krishna. We don't allow animals to come. But this animal is there in taking the refuge of Krishna. So I may become this deer. So they're even desiring to become deer. And they're glorifying the position and fortune of these deers. And they're saying because their husbands are also favorable and even they're aspiring, so they can't bear all these things because they are completely deprived of all these facilities which these other creatures are having in Vrindavan in order to take darshans of Krishna. And they're saying, and there's no one like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, nobody is there to bother them. And we have millions of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha who don't want, who don't let us meet with Krishna. So these deers are even more fortunate. Guru Premanande Hari Hari Po.
Translation evening class 28-8-94.
Voice good, thank you. Open Venugit and he started that this Purvrag is the description of the Purvrag of gopis, the mood which they have for Krishna. All this thing has been described in this Venugis, in the Purvrag. These are the symptoms of Purvrag. So, as sadhakas, we should also very seriously and minutely analyze all these things, because this is the purpose of Hari Leela. When Krishna depicts his pastime in this world, then it is only for those rare souls who are desirous to do some bhajan, who want to enter in this pastime. These leelas are only meant for these people. So we should become very serious and try to understand how these gopis are expressing their mood for Krishna, this desperateness to meet Krishna. This we have to develop in our heart. And we may see that, oh, it is like to come to this standard, to the standard of gopis, is very difficult. It is so difficult to come there, but at least we can make a goal. It's like one is student and he may think, and when he's studying in this preliminary classes, he may see, now when I become graduate, then I'm going to go in civil services or in administrative services. So the goal is very high, but he has decided, he has said, he selected something. So we, by hearing from Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru and from all this literatures and this Shravan, the hearing, whatever Harikatha we are hearing, we at least should fix up that this is my goal, and then I should aspire for it and try for this. Bhagavat tells of all different goals for all different living entities. The goals are varying, just like there's so many things displayed on one shop, and customers, according to their selection, they can take whatever they want. Similarly, Bhagavat has arrangement for everybody, for all kind of people. But it talks about Sakam Bhakti also, it talks about Nishkam Bhakti also, and it talks about Nirgun Bhakti also, and it's also talking about Braj Bhakti. But the secret is that in a hidden way, it is just pointing for the Braj Bhakti. And also in Braj Ras, we have these five different rasas, we have that also. So, but we have to make a goal. By seeing the example of gopis, we should single-pointedly understand that this is my mood with Krishna. And then according to our adhikar, according to our qualification and eligibility, we'll gradually rise up to that standard. Just like we see in the case of Vrajanath and Vijay Kumar in Jaya Dharma. They are going to one guru and they are hearing the same Harikatha. But this one of them, they have their, he sees guru as Sridham, Subal. He sees guru as Subal Sakha, and this other, he sees guru as Lalita Sakhi. So that means each and every living entity has a fixed Svarupa, its original constitutional position. And guru is very expert in locating what are the symptoms. For him it's not difficult to find out what is the constitutional position of a living entity. He sees that just like a patient goes to doctor, and just by seeing the face, if so much water coming from the nose, it's running nose, and then some headache, then he can understand, yes, he got some cold, and he will give him according medicine for that disease only. Similarly, guru understand, and then he will tell Harikatha of that same taste. And then gradually, he'll focus all his Harikatha towards that liking of the disciple and that constitutional position which he has according to his Svarupa, and he will develop it up like that. And then later on, all the stages to come, our thoughts will be directed in the same line. We'll get association of same devotees, we'll get guru of the same taste, same mood, and we'll get the same institution. All these things will be arranged by Krishna himself by seeing our intensity of our desire. Not just Krishna, also his associates also work for this, also to make this all arrangement for us. And now gopis are saying, all these things which gopis are seeing, which they are visualizing in their bhavanetra by the eyes of their bhava, not with these eyes, whatever they are seeing, immovable, movable, all creatures, living entities, etc., everything, these are all anubhavs of whatever they are feeling for Krishna. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, definition of love has been described, definition of prema, what is prema. What is the symptoms? The symptom is, as these gopis are showing, they are feeling that we don't have even a tinge of love, we don't have even fragrance of love for Krishna. Although they are having the extreme love, this can be manifested for possible for any living entity. But still they are thinking that we don't have even tinge of love. So if anybody claims that now I have become Krishna conscious, I have become a guru, I have become a Vaishnava, oh, I also see dreams of Krishna, I talk with Krishna in the dreams and with gopis, etc., then take it for granted that he is not understood or he has not become a little bit Krishna conscious at all. Because what this Brahmaji is saying, he is saying that with his four heads and eight eyes and ears, he is always trying to meditate on Krishna's form, Krishna's pastime, etc., etc., and he's saying that I'm unable to understand even little bit about Krishna. So what we can say about us? So anybody who claims like that, that means we should understand he's not even become a little bit Krishna conscious. And then what to say of Brahma? Mahaprabhuji is saying, what does Mahaprabhuji is saying? Mahaprabhuji is saying, he cited a shloka, which means that he's saying, my life is useless, I wasted my life completely. Because if I had that love for Krishna, then I would not be bearing this separation from Krishna. I would have died by now. I would have left my body. Just like this fish. As soon as you take this fish out of water, simply dies. It's not an artificial symptom, or fish is not making show off that she loves water. But it's natural, because she's part of that water. She's part of that. Similarly, Mahaprabhu is, for himself, is thinking that he doesn't have prema at all. So what to say of we? We may think so many things on heart. So any time does we feel like that oh, my life is wasted because I am away from Krishna, I have not taken his darshan. Any time this thought comes to our mind or not? No. So we have to be very concerned in this regard. First of all, these gopis, they are speaking, they are comparing, they are seeing these deers and they are saying. What they are saying? That we may, when we die in this life, the next time we may take birth as this deer. Because these deers are so fortunate. And then next moment they are saying, oh, we will not be able to become even deers because we don't have that kind of supritis. So it's very difficult for us to become deers. So then they think that, but at the same time, these thoughts are arising in their heart that they should become this deer. So these thoughts with the desires or the feelings which gopis have in their heart can never be futile, they never become useless, because it's said that even sadhakas, when their desires become gradually strong, strengthened, then it fulfills. So what to say of gopis? So all this arrangement is being made by Yogamaya there. And Yogamaya fulfills all the desires of the gopis. All these movements are being fulfilled also. And then, so they say, oh, and then, so they say, oh, we don't have even such fortune. So then next they see all this, they see up in the sky and they see all these demigods are there in their vehicles, and along with their wives they are watching this scene, this whole scene taking place in Vrindavan, and they sing Krishna and he's playing, and these wives of all these demigods, they are so fortunate. As soon as they see Krishna and Krishna's beautiful form, they become maddened in they become mad for Krishna, and then they show all this bhavas for Krishna, and then they get fainted in the lap of their husband. So gopis are witnessing all this scene. These demigods, they don't have such fortune. They are there, but they are not fainted, and probably they have not even heard this flute voice also. They have not heard this also. Only these wives of demigods have heard that. Why they have come here, these demigods? Just on the plea of their wives, because their wives said, oh, you come with us, so they are there. So they are, probably they would have seen Krishna doing Gocharan for a few minutes, but nothing happened in their heart, because they don't have bhakti. This bhakti is only in the heart of these wives of demigods. So gopis are witnessing all these things, and they are glorifying the fortune of all these wives of demigods. And we also see that in the pastime of Chitraketu, when he becomes Dhritarasura and is fighting with Indra, in that pastime he is praying for that in the mood of gopis. But with Indra, when Krishna comes in the form of Vamandev to him, and he is just praying for his heavenly pleasures, that's all. So these demigods, they are always unfortunate. They will never aspire for this thing. But their wives, they are more fortunate than the demigods. And they are seeing what Krishna is doing. Krishna is having all kind of dancing and all playing moves with gopis. And if sometimes some of the gopis, their ankle bells get off their, you know, from their feet, then Krishna even, he is tying that also. So they say, what fortune these wives of demigods have, because they are, nobody stopping them to witness all this beautiful pastime of Krishna. And even there, their husbands are cooperating with them. So may we have this fortune. As soon as we want to go to meet Krishna, and so much obstacles are there. Our husbands, our mother-in-laws, and then sister-in-laws, and somebody will come. So many people come and will ask list of questions. And if somehow or another we're trying to escape, and the husbands will come up with their sticks, so they're comparing their misfortune and the fortune of the wives of demigods. And this, what is the beautiful form of Krishna? It is so beautiful that the whole planetary system, three worlds, they are becoming attracted by the beauty of Krishna. And even Narayana, who is husband of Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is extremely beautiful, even he is hypnotized when he sees the beauty of Krishna. So what to say of when they are witnessing this wonderful scene, Krishna in Vrindavan. And on top of that, Srimati Radhika, which is the source of all the Lakshmi, Sarva Lakshmi Mai Radha. And even so, Lakshmi, Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, and even Srimati Radhika is source of all this Lakshmi. And then Krishna has his left hand on the shoulders of Srimati Radhika. Such a wonderful scene is being witnessed by the wives of the demigods. And these gopis, they are all witnessing with their eyes of their bhav. And what happens next to these wives of demigods? When they hear this flute of Krishna, as soon as Krishna plays this flute, they just become maddened and their heart feeling sick. So much stimulated, so much they become extremely exposed and their clothes fall off and they just faint in the lap of the husband. And gopis are witness all these things. And then they say, oh, our misfortune and this demigod wife, they are so fortunate. We should understand here, there is a word quoted in this verse as Anushidan, she, which is a very significant meaning here, meaning that this gopi's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for gopis, which is kama, named as kama in the verse, is not an odd, this is actually prema, it's not a mundane affair at all. And it is devoid of all selfishness and self-satisfaction, it's devoid completely of that. They just want to please each other. But who can understand this? Only this gopi. They can understand, they can relish it also. Nobody else. It's even difficult for Narad, it's difficult for Uddhava also. Anybody who is in the male form or in the consciousness that I am man, he cannot understand this. Only these gopis. We see Shankar, he was desirous to go in the rasa and he has to go in the form of a gopi. He could not go there in the form of a man. So anybody who is of this consciousness, he can never understand this. And then again they are comparing their fortune with his wives of the demigods, and then they say, oh, if so, but we see that when these gopis, some of the gopis after saying this thing, then they're comparing themselves with the fortune of all wives of demigods, then they're saying that few of the gopis were not able to go to meet Krishna. They were being stopped by their husband. But this was outwardly. Actually, they were stopped by Yukmaya, because these gopis had also got children with their husband. So how is this possible? They are having love with Krishna, at the same time they are having children. So it is never possible. It will become rasabhas dosh. So, but at that moment when they are in separation, and now when they are deeply thinking of this pastime of Krishna and they are witnessing this scene here, they are all auspicious and inauspicious, and anarthas goes away. Shubha and ashubha, anarthas, they go away. Here, one may question, this is a siddha platform, the gopis are perfected completely. So what kind of auspicious and inauspiciousness left there? Then it's said that this auspiciousness and inauspiciousness is not mundane, just in the case of a sadhaka. It is different. This inauspiciousness is the separation which they are feeling for Krishna. They are not able to meet Krishna. This is separation. And what is auspiciousness? Auspiciousness is that they have they have desire to meet Krishna, but they are unable to meet him due to their upscales on the way. But both of these things, they are rectified by the arrangement of Yog Maya. Why? When they are unable to go, then they think so, they are in thinking of Krishna, they are so much absorbed that Krishna, they take Krishna in their heart through their thoughts and embrace him. Mm-hmm. So all the inauspiciousness and auspiciousness is completely eradicated by this. And then later on in the rasa, they reach in the rasa first of all, and all the gopis reach later on. And all this anartha is also being eradicated by the association of Nitya Siddha Gopis, because their bhava now is being completely becoming more thick and completely getting purified and contaminated of all impurities by the association of this Nitya Siddha Gopis, and it's becoming completely pure. And Yogmaya, Yogmaya had completely opened all the doors for them. What does it mean by opening door? Kapat Khodiye. What does it mean by that? That they opened doors. Even in the case of So next, now they are comparing themselves with the cows. They are witnessing all cows when they see this beautiful form of Krishna, and they hear this beautiful, this wonderful sound of the flute, and then their ears stand on their end, and they've just become like cubs, and they are hearing this voice in a very stunned manner. They are chewing grass, and this grass is, they are chewing grass, but then it just stays in their neck, doesn't go in, doesn't go out, and they just completely stunned, statue, just like a statue. They become like a statue, and they're hearing, and they're seeing the beautiful form of Krishna also, and these gopis are witnessing this thing, and there are lakhs and lakhs of cows. Nanda Baba's cows, how many? There are 9 lakhs, and then Sri Dham's cows, how many cows are there? 11 lakhs, and then apart from that also there are billion and billions of cows. So how is possible that all the cows are they're able to take darshan of Krishna? This is the arrangement of Yogmaya. Each and every cow is seeing Krishna is in front of her, like that. And then, what to say of this calves? They're drinking milk from the udders, but as soon as they hear this flute, their small ears, they also stand in the neck. And they're just in this posture, they keep staying like that, and the milk just stays in the neck. And then they just get absorbed in hearing this wonderful sound of the flute. Not just this, what to say of these cows and calf? The immovable things starts becoming movable, and the movable things, they become immovable. This is the potency. Later on, this all things have been discussed elaborately in this Rasa Panchadhyay chapter. So gopis are praying that we may have such fortune, but we cannot have in this lifetime. So they are praying, when we die and next lifetime, when we take our births, we desire that we may become either these cows, and if not cows, then we may become calves and have such a fortune. And again they are saying, telling something about their position, and they are saying that how their husband is stopping. They say they are so cruel that they are always thinking how they want to stop us to meet Krishna. If we are going out, then they'll say, where you are going out? And if we are dressed very nicely and we have been all shingar, so, oh, what is the reason today you are so dressed up so beautifully? And if someday we are not dressed properly, then say, oh, you are not dressed properly, what's the point? Why are you not dressed properly? And then if they are coming from anywhere, they say, where you come from? Somehow or another, by actual reason or artificial reason, somehow or another they want to bother them. No, unnecessarily, they are saying. These all symptoms are of Madan Modan also. All these gopis which are telling their own position, these are also symptoms of Madan and Modan stages. This is also, this Madan and Modan, this is being discussed in the 7th verse of Shishashtak by Mahaprabhu. He's saying, Yugaitam Nimeshena. This is very similar here, this gopis which, the bhavas which gopis are depicting here. And then again, does we have this kind of feelings anytime in our heart, or such desperateness in our heart, that sometimes we may say even for once that, oh, my life is wasted, I don't have this kind of vision, I can't say this, all these things are happening and I can't say that. Or I may desire, oh, I may become a cow in Vrindavan. Sometimes we desire, never, or I become a cow. If not that, we may sometimes, we don't even desire that we may become a creeper there. We should not think like that creepers in Vrindavan, they are inferior to anybody else. All of them, they are Satchidanand, and they are favorable to the pastime, for the pastimes of Krishna. And then he gives one example. How? In one of the pastimes, Srimati Radhika, she had this man, for Krishna, and now she is not talking to him anymore. And then he's trying his best to please her. And he's tried his all ways and means he can try. He's played so nicely his flute also, but nothing is working to it. And Srimati Radhika is so angry that she's not even looking towards Krishna. She's just walking in the opposite direction. And then she's walking so fast. And then suddenly one snake comes out from the one of the punjas. And he wants to bite Srimati Radhika. And then Srimati Radhika gets scared and runs back. And then she embraces Krishna. So this snake, he becomes favorable.